Take your Bible tonight, if you would, please, and I want you to turn with me tonight to a couple places in the Word of God, and I want you to turn with me and look at a man's life, and we're going to learn a few things from that. Luke chapter number 22, if you would, tonight. Luke chapter number 22. I was telling Brother Burgess last night, I really felt like this message on my heart. I preached last night, and the Lord just did not direct that way. He sent me another direction. The first time that I dealt with this was last Sunday morning at Calvary, and it's just been burning on my heart since then. And all day today, you have those days when you look at messages and pray about different things, but then some days you simply just know what message you're going to be preaching that night. And I want you to look at Luke chapter 22 and verse number 54. The Bible says, then took they him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off. I know this is elementary, but we never should follow the Lord afar off. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall, were set down together, Peter sat down among them. Not only should we never follow far off, but we don't need to hang around the wrong crowd either. Amen. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, this man was also with him. And he denied him, saying, woman, I know him not. And after a little while, another saw him and said, thou art also of them. And Peter said, man, I am not. About the space of 1 hour after another, confidently affirmed, saying, of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. And Peter said, man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately while he spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord. I said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Verse 62, I believe one of the saddest verses in the Bible. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Now, I want you to take your Bible, if you would, and go to the book of Mark, please, tonight. Mark chapter number 16. This is after the resurrection. Mark chapter number 16. After the resurrection. And I want you to look with me, if you would, at verse number 7. This is after Jesus has risen from the dead and he's sending word to his disciples. And in verse number 7, the Bible says, but go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he go up before you into Galilee. There shall you see him as he said unto you. You'll notice in this passage, and it's not something new, but you'll notice in this passage of the Word of God tonight that I'm reading about a man that probably had a love for God as much as anybody could have had in the Bible. If David was after God's own heart, there is no doubt at all in my mind that Peter had a deep love and admiration for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to say this tonight. I'm convinced with all of my heart, if anybody ever loved the Son of God, it was the Apostle Peter. He loved the Lord. Amen. Tonight, I want to preach from what I've read on this thought. The God of a second chance. The God of a second chance. Let's bow together and pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, tonight for the Word of God. I thank you, Lord, tonight for the liberty to read it and to preach it. Lord, I thank you tonight for the good choir singing, the great singing by the ladies tonight. Lord, I thank you for the good time we've had to worship. Lord, I pray tonight. Now, God, may you just overshadow us and give us what we need from the house of God tonight. Lord, I pray, may this word penetrate our heart, deal with our heart, and God, may we be better. Revive thy work in the midst of the years. In wrath, remember mercy. Lord, I pray, God, as a heart panteth after the water brooks, may our soul pant after thee, O God. And Lord, I pray, clothe me in my calling, and I'll thank you tonight for what you do, for we ask it in Christ's name. And all God's people said, amen. You can be seated tonight. I want to say tonight real quickly that I'm glad tonight that God is a God of second chances. I want to say tonight that I'm glad that though life may not give you a lot of do-overs, and though a lot of things in life may not give you an opportunity to do them again, I'm glad God is a God of a second chance. And I want to deal a little bit here in a moment with a passage that I read tonight. But before we get there, I want to think about several places in the Word of God where God has given us a second chance. Several places in the Bible where we see a second chance. I don't know about you tonight, but I'm so glad God doesn't throw us away. I'm glad God doesn't give up on us. I'm glad God still has a word for us and still wants to use us. Because friend, tonight, if it were up to God getting rid of us when we fail, I would not be standing here tonight. But I am what I am by the grace of God. God's touched me and allowed me and given me what I need in my life to go another day. When you think about the Word of God, the Bible's full of second chances. The Bible's full of second and third chances. Matter of fact, you'll find in the Word of God with the nation of Israel, and I've done a lot of studying about that in the last year as I went through some books of the Bible, my own personal self, and you'll find that the nation of Israel did wrong again and didn't do right in the sight of God and didn't do right in the sight of God and didn't do right in the sight of God. But God always sent them a prophet. God always sent them a man. And God always had a word. And God said to them, I'm not going to throw the towel in on you. I'm glad tonight that God doesn't throw the towel in on us when we fail. That God doesn't give up on us. Because friend, if he did, you and I'd be in a mess. One of my favorite sayings I love to say is this: failure is not forever. Failure is not forever. I know in independent fundamentalism, sometimes if somebody fails, man, it's almost like they failed forever. People write them off, don't want to have anything to do with them. Hey, listen, I know there are things we got to do in order to preach. I know things we got to do in order to be a pastor. I understand all of that. I understand the qualifications. I haven't changed on that. Since I started out 33 years ago, I still stand firm in that. But friend, I'm telling you, when somebody's down, the last thing we need to do is kick them while they're down or try to just write them off. We try to do everything we can to help people to get going again. I'm glad God's a God of second chances. I want to say first of all tonight that God's a God of second chances when it comes to this: a second chance to be saved. A second chance to be saved. Do you and I realize tonight that God doesn't owe us anything? Do you realize tonight that Jesus did not have to die on Calvary, that God did not have to send his son, that you and I did not have to have the Holy Ghost deal with us one day, that God could have still been God sitting on the throne. God could have still been God and every one of us could have died and could have went to hell. But I'm glad, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, one like himself, so that you and I would not have to die and spend eternity in a devil's hell. Amen. But I want to say this to you tonight. Most of us sitting here right now that are saved did not get saved the first time we heard the gospel. Most of us sitting right here now did not get saved the first time that we fell under conviction. I'm telling you, many of us sitting here right now, God dealt with our heart and we put up a coldness and we said, Lord, not tonight or not today. And we walked away and we went away. But can I tell you this? God could have left us alone after that. God could have never dealt with us again after that. But aren't you glad that God in his long suffering is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come unto eternal life. And God sent that Holy Ghost one more time to deal with our heart. Amen. I was telling my church Sunday, I still remember this vividly. And I know, Brother Burge, you remember this. We talked about this Sunday. But several years ago when we was in the other building, before we converted the gym and redid it, and we was in the other building, we had a service one time. God began to move and God began to bless, and folk began to testify about how God had saved them and God had changed their life and God had done something great in their life. And then there was a man on the left side. He was a visitor. I didn't know him. I'd never seen him. And anytime somebody stands up in church that I don't know and I've never seen, I get a little bit nervous, wondering what they might say. And he stood up and he said something that just kind of took me back for a moment. He looked up and he said, "Preacher," I know he was. I said, "Yes, sir." You could tell the Holy Ghost was moving. You could tell it was going to be all right. And he said, "Preacher," he said, "I wish I could get saved." Well, you know me, I'm a soul winner. I want people to get saved. I want people's life to change. So I looked at him and said, "Sir, why don't you come forward and why don't you get saved?" And he looked at me and said, "I can't." I'll never forget that. I was standing in the pulpit and I looked at him puzzled. And he looked at me again. He said, "Preacher, several years ago, God dealt with me about being saved. God dealt with my heart. God pulled at me and I said no." He said, "I went back again and again and God dealt with me and pulled at my heart and I said no." He said, "One Sunday I walked in church and he said, 'Preacher, I've never felt him pull again.'" He said, "Preacher, I've never felt in my heart God trying to draw me." He said, "I've never felt that pull of the Holy Ghost again." He said, "Preacher, I'm not trying to be mean, but," he said, "I'm going to die and go to hell if God don't somehow, some way deal with my heart." But he said, "I've never felt it again like I used to feel it." Now, I know what some people say. Why would a God that loves you, why would a God like him, I let anybody go to hell? Friend, he's given us every opportunity. He sent his son. He's given us preaching. He's given us the word of God. He is not obligated to save any of us. Friend, it's all by his grace. And I believe that you can send away your day of grace. I do. Because I believe that every time you reject Christ, you trample the blood of his son. Every time you say no to the Son of God, God keeps a record. And I would say, if you're here tonight and you've never been saved, and boy, in your soul right now, you feel that tug. In your soul right now, you know you need Christ. In your soul right now, you realize, "Oh, I need the Lord." I tell you what I'd do. I wouldn't get out of this building. I wouldn't drive down the road. Matter of fact, I'm not even sure I'd go through the whole service. I'd run to Jesus as fast as I could, and I'd get saved by the grace of God. Because, friend, you're not guaranteed another heartbeat. But if God's still dealing with you, you need to get saved by the grace of God. Amen. Here's what God said. And I realize in context of scriptures, we study the Bible. I realize who he's speaking to here. All scripture may not be written to us, but all scripture is for us. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, "Because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But you have set at naught all my counsel. You would none of my reproof." He says, "I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh, this desolation, your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. When distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me earlier, but they shall not find me." Friend, I want to say this to you today. If God loves you enough, hallelujah, if God loves you enough that he's reaching down right now and squeezing your heart and letting you know you need to be saved. Friend, that ain't the preacher telling you. That ain't a songbook telling you. That ain't a choir telling you. That's the Holy Ghost deep down on the inside that's letting you know you need to be saved. Amen. A second chance to be saved. If you're here today, don't waste this opportunity. Well, preacher, I'll get saved on my deathbed. Not if he don't deal with you, won't. You can call on God all you want on a deathbed, friend, but if the Holy Ghost don't do, I'm not trying to upset anybody. I'm just preaching the Bible. The Bible, you don't come to God unless the Spirit of God draws you. You don't come to God when you want to. Hey, He draws you. I'm glad one day in my old stubborn heart when I didn't want anything to do with God and a lost church member and I should have went to hell. I'm glad when everybody else thought I was all right. God knew I wasn't all right and God kept my where I was and got a hold of my heart and jerked me out of that seat and I found an altar. God saved on the way to it. Hey, I'm telling you, friend, get saved. Don't put it off. Second floor of Moses Cone Hospital. I walked in to make a visit years ago, my first church. Fellow there by the name of Pop Atkins was dying. I talked to Pop Atkins every weekend. One of the men in my church owned a local dirt track where the dirt track race cars ran. And I'd always go up there and hang out with them and watch the dirt track cars. And I'd set up an announcer's booth and do the prayer at night. And man, I just loved doing that. And I was setting up there and I was enjoying that race. And then I'd go down to the corner to the gate and I'd talk to Pop and I'd talk to him about the Lord. He was a good guy, had a lot of respect for the man of God. But Pop loved his liquor. Pop loved his alcohol, and I never could get him to give his life to Christ. I'll never forget the day that he was dying. He was up on the second floor of the intensive care, and I walked up there. And when I walked in the room, Pop Atkins was pulling his knees up to his chest. He was unconscious, but it was almost like he was trying to pull his feet out of the fire. I'll never forget it. He was sliding up the head of the bed. His wife looked over at me and said, "Brother Chris, tell me that he's all right." I said, "You know I can't tell you that. You know I can't tell you that." She knew exactly where he was going. He had opportunity. He had a chance. God loved him, sent his own son to die for him, but he rejected Christ one too many times. And I had to preach the funeral of a man that I knew slipped off into hell. And I'm going to add this in. His wife became a soul winner too late. She was a Sunday morning Christian. She never prayed for him, just complained about his drinking. She never got a burden for him. Her burden didn't even bring her back Sunday night. But boy, the minute he was dying and slipping into hell, all of a sudden she wanted to be a soul winner. Friend, I'm going to tell you this tonight. I told you last night, it has been on my heart all day. It was on my heart yesterday. I'm not just up here throwing words at you. There's probably somebody in this building. You better get to talking to somebody about God. Somebody might have an appointment coming. Somebody might have. Hey, it's time for the church to awake out of sleep and realize people are dying and going to hell all around us. A second chance to be saved. In our text scripture that we're in tonight, the story about the Apostle Peter, you see a second chance to serve. A second chance to serve. It's really what our text is all about. We've all failed the Lord in some way in our life. Peter must have surely thought he was done. Can you imagine the Son of God right here before the Via Della Rosa, right here before he walks Calvary's Hill, right here bloody and beaten, right here before he dies, you got an opportunity to stand for him. And instead of standing for him, you deny him, and then you deny him again, and then you deny him again. Jesus said you would, but you never thought you would. You say, "Preacher, I'd never deny the Lord." You deny him every time you don't do what he says. You deny him every time you don't live your life like he wants you to live. Hey, I'm telling you, you're either for him or against him. You're either with him or you're not. And friend, I'm going to tell you this. Peter was a saved man. Peter loved the Lord. Do you understand me tonight? Peter loved the Lord. He did. But he denied him three times. The Bible says after he denied him three times, the Bible says that he went out. Jesus had looked over at him and he went out and he wept bitterly. As far as he was concerned, Brother Mayo, he was finished. Can I say this to you tonight? I'm not one of these preachers that runs around kicking people while they're down. I have church members, I see them starting to get away from God. I see them getting cold. I see them getting away. I don't want to see them get away. I don't want to see them get cold. I don't want to see them get away from God. There are no throwaways in God's economy. Amen. I don't go kick them. Listen, if they're going down deep and they're getting away, and these young people know I preach to these teenagers a lot here in this church, and they know what I'm saying. I have an open door policy in my church. If some kid comes to me and they're going the wrong way and they're messing up and they need some help, I don't kick them out the door. I don't tell them they're worthless. I tell them that failure's not forever, but you got to make up your mind. I'm not going that way anymore. I'm going with God. I'm going to live for God. I'm going to serve God. I'm going to pick up the pieces and go on. Can you imagine a man that said, Jesus, I'd die for you? Can you imagine a man, pastor, that said, God, you count on me? And then when the fire got turned up, when he was falling afar off, he denied him three times. Jesus goes to Calvary. He dies on the cross. Not one disciple but John was there. 11 others were not there. There were more women at the cross following him than there were men. It's about the average Baptist church I go in. Sad commentary. If you're a man, lead your family to church. Put your belt and breeches on. Lead your family to God's house. Amen. But I want you to watch this. After the resurrection, Jesus hadn't forgot. After the resurrection, Jesus had not forgotten about what went on. And so then he wants to get the word to his disciples. And he said, go tell my disciples. And those two great words. And Peter. I'm going to tell you what would have happened. If Jesus would have said, go tell my disciples, I don't believe Peter would have ever came. I mean, you imagine.
That's right.
I have failed the person I love the most in the world. I have failed the Son of God. I have let him down. Everybody knows how much I love him. Everybody saw me walk on the water. Oh, no, later. Everybody saw being around the miracles and the things that happened. But now here I am.
Yes.
A failure. Jesus knew that. And he said, go tell my disciples and Peter. Not only is he a God of a second chance when it comes to being saved, but he's a God of a second chance when it comes to serving him. There are way too many people. Let me ask you a question tonight. Why aren't you still in the choir? Why aren't you still in Sunday school?
Yep. Tell it, preacher.
Why aren't you still coming on Wednesday?
Mm-hmm.
Why aren't you reading your Bible like you used to do? Why aren't you praying like you did?
Yep.
Let me ask you this. You ever feel like a failure? You say, oh, preacher, I'm as good as some other folk I know. That may be the case. But friend, when you go to the Bema seat, you're not going to be holding somebody else's hand and say, I did better than they did, or I did better than they did. You got to understand, it'll be you and the Son of God, and you will give an account of your life before him. And friend, we've all failed him somewhere. Here's the great news. He doesn't give up on us. He doesn't quit on us. One of the greatest chapters about this in the Old Testament is in the book of Jeremiah, chapter number 18, when we visit the potter's house. If you remember, that potter was having a tough time with one of those pieces of clay. He knew what it wanted it to be. He knew what he wanted that vessel to look like, but the Bible lets us know that that clay must have been very stubborn. Finally, the Bible tells us that the potter just simply got tired of the way that clay was doing, and And the Bible said it was marred in the potter's hand. After it's marred, it's got to go back in the fire. When it goes back in the oven, back in the fire. By the way, every potter's house always has a glass right there looking inside the fire. Why? Because the potter, even though that clay's going through the fire, still keeps an eye on it, still cares about it. You say, what did he do, preacher? Throw that clay away. No, it's not what he did. The Bible says, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter, so he made it again. He made it again. Somebody would come in and say, my, that's a beautiful vessel. What they don't realize, it one day it wasn't nothing but stubborn clay, and it would not mold, and it would not go that way. But instead of throwing it away, God said, I'm going to work on you some more. I'm going to deal with you some more. I'm going to shape you some more. And now it's a vessel fit for the master's use. Because the good news is, for everybody in this building tonight saved, God doesn't throw the clay away. I want to say this to that tonight. I don't say this to every one of you. Thank God. Lord, have mercy. I can't speak for you, but I can speak for me. There's been many a time, sister, that I went home and I thought, God, why in the world would you ever bless me like you do? I got a license plate on the front of my truck. I was preaching a camp meeting a couple, 2 or 3 years ago. And a family come up to me after I'd preached a message. And they come up to me and they gave me this license plate. And the word just simply says, blessed. Just blessed. It's black, looks good on my black truck. And I stuck it on the front. You would not believe the people across this country, everywhere I go, like your license plate. Like your license plate gives me a great opportunity to say, let me tell you why it's on there. But I want you to watch this. Every now and then, brother, hallelujah. Every now and then, I look at that license plate. I look around my life. I look at the church God lets me pastor, all the young people God lets me pastor, the churches I get to preach in, and the things I get to do, and I know me.
Amen.
Do you understand? I know me. I know the times that I failed him. I know the days of my prayerlessness. I know the times when I got too busy to do what I should have done. I know the times when I put other things in front of him and he could have just shoved me aside and he could have just pushed me away. But I'm glad in my stubbornness, I'm glad he got me again and he does something in my life and he makes me what he wants me to be. He's a God. He's a God of a second chance. I said he's a God of a second chance and sometime a third chance and sometime a fourth chance. He's a God that doesn't give up on us. You see, there's somebody sitting in this auditorium and you feel like, well, I just don't know. I just don't know if God could ever use me again. Not that I've been out and robbed a liquor store or committed some adulterous sin, but I just have moved away from him. I mean, I go to church, but I'll be honest with you, I just occupy a spot. I mean, everybody's glad to see me every service, but I'll be honest with you, my heart's a long way from the building. My body's there. And just to be honest, I just feel like a failure. And it'd be good for you to do tonight. God fixes broken things. He's the mender of broken things. Number one, a second chance to be saved. Number two, a second chance to serve. Then I want you to listen to this, and I'm done tonight. No subpoints, no A, B, and C. This is it. A second chance to surrender. God gave me a statement, Pastor Turner, And I want to give you this statement that God gave me. Everybody will surrender. It's just a matter of will you do it willingly. Every knee shall bow. Everybody will surrender. But will you do it willingly? Say, preacher, what are you talking about? Here's what I'm talking about. That thing God's been dealing with you about for a long time, and you know He has. Maybe that thing in secret, nobody knows. Maybe that thing in your life, and God, listen, whatever it might be, I'm not even going to name what it might be, but you already know it while I'm preaching. And God's dealt with you. You've even got under conviction about it. You've even wanted to make it right. But you just can't seem to surrender. You just can't seem to surrender it. It's like every time you lay it on the altar, you're walking away from the altar, and then all of a sudden you reach back and grab it. You just can't let it go. See, you're going to surrender to His will, whether it's willingly or unwillingly. But He will get your attention. He will stop your way. If you're His child, rebellion is the sin of witchcraft. And God will not let us rebel long before He says, wait a minute. You're bought with a price. I've dealt with you time and time again. It is time to get it right. How long are you going to carry that bitterness? How long are you going to tote that anger? How long are you going to tell God, I'm going to stay off of that website? How long are you going to tell God, I'm going to quit doing this or that or the other, or I'm going to get some things right, or I'm going to do this? And yet every time you tell Him, you get close, but you just can't surrender all. The songwriter said, all to Jesus I surrender, not a portion. The Bible says in Hebrews 3, harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the day of temptation and wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart. They have not known my ways. Proverbs 1:28 goes farther. I do believe the reprobate deals with an unsaved man. But in Proverbs 1:28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. I'll say this to you. And I understand reprobate, and I understand the unsaved and the context of that scripture. But I want you to listen to what I'm getting ready to say, and I'm done tonight. Understand what I'm getting ready to say. This is probably not good English, but it'll work. The worst thing God could ever do in your life is leave you alone. Are you listening? The worst thing God could ever do in your life is just leave you alone. Because when He leaves you alone and you chase your own heart, which Jeremiah says is desperately wicked, when you go on your own and you think about what the Word of God says about the nation of Israel, they did that which was right in their own eyes. I'm glad that God doesn't leave me alone. There have been times in my life, Brother Rochester, that God dealt with me about something. And I didn't like Him dealing with me about it because I wanted Him to leave me alone. But really, I didn't. And boy, when I surrendered to His will for my life, and I said, God, I'm sorry. And I said, God, I want to make that right. God touched my life. I want to ask you this question tonight. And we're done. Here's the question I want to ask you. Do you need a second chance? Some of you might need a third chance. You say, oh, preacher, I've tried to live right and I just can't do it. You're exactly right. You cannot. Paul was one of the greatest Christians, writer of 13 books of the Bible, surely Hebrews, most likely 14 books of the Bible. The Apostle Paul said, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. If the Apostle Paul struggled with it, yeah, I've got a problem. I surrender all. Stand to your feet with your head bowed and your eyes closed tonight. Holy Ghost, sweet Jesus, God, I pray tonight the power and presence of God would speak to us and right now in this time together. God, you know the need of the hour. God, you know who came in, what they came in with. God, I'm a mere man. Without being clothed in your power, nothing. But God, I believe tonight the message is right for the hour. What we do with it, we do willingly. I wonder, with every head bowed in this auditorium tonight, I wonder if someone would be in this auditorium tonight and say, preacher, if I were to die tonight, I do not have 100% assurance that I'm saved. I don't know that for sure. I struggle with it. I know God's dealt with me about it. And I know I need Jesus. I need Him to change my life. I need Him to come in my life and give me peace, give me joy. I need the Lord, preacher. I really do. I need the Lord. I'm not here to embarrass you. I will not come to you. But I would just love to see your hand where I could see your face and I could pray for you right now. You say, preacher, if I died right now, I'm not sure. I'm not sure I'd meet God. And I feel in my heart God's a tugging at me. And I don't want to say no. Would you pray for me? Who'd slip your hand up? Put it right back down right now. Just slip it up, put it right back down. Say, preacher, please pray. Thank you, ma'am. Someone else. Preacher, God spoke to me one more time. Preacher, I need Jesus. I need that peace. I don't want to die and go to hell. I need the Lord. Would you pray for me? Preacher, God dealt with me one more time. Would you let me pray for you? You might be a member of this church. You might have a head knowledge, but not a heart knowledge. You might be here confused. Listen, one of the greatest things in the world is being saved. Next greatest thing is knowing you are.
Yes, sir.
You might be here and unsured, struggling, and say, preacher, I want to get that settled and put behind me tonight.
Yes.
Would you slip your hand up and let me pray for you? Care enough about your own soul. Would you do it right now? Would you do it right now? Just slip it up. I'd move on if the Holy Ghost would let me. I'd move on if the Holy Ghost would let me. Would you do it? Just slip it up. I just want to pray for you. I'm on your side. I want to love you to Jesus. I want to tell you what He did for me, what He can do for you. I want you to understand that sweet peace. I was a lost church member. I went to church, but if I died, I'd have went to hell because I'd never had a personal relationship with Christ. Right before I go on, is anybody else I can pray for? Preacher, if I died right now, can't for sure say I'd go to heaven. Just don't have that peace. God dealt with me one more time. Thank you, son, for raising your hand. I see it. Thank you, buddy. Will there be another? Will there be another? Will there be another? Go and get it up so I can move on. Care enough about your own soul. Care enough about eternity. care enough about it. You're going to spend eternity somewhere. You'll spend it in heaven or hell. That's up to you. Jesus died so you could be with him. Would you let me pray for you? One more person, anybody at all. Preacher, I don't want to walk out of this building chancing the fact that I may never be dealt with again. Would you pray for me? I don't want anybody in my family to say, tell me he's all right. Tell me she's all right. And not be able to do it. One more person, can I pray? Anybody at all? Can I ask you secondly tonight, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, every child of God, I want to throw someone in here tonight and say, preacher, I feel like I failed the Lord. Don't feel like I'm where I need to be with him. I know I'm saved. I know I'm saved. But sometimes I feel like a failure. I feel like the kind of Christian that just needs to do better, get better, needs to get revived, needs to get stirred. I just need to get where I need to be with God, preacher. I just sometimes feel like a failure. I'm glad God doesn't throw the clay away. Would you pray for me? One man's already slipped his hand up. Here's another and another. So many across the auditorium, hands are going up. Can I tell you, friend, you could be the key to revival. You could be the key to God busting this thing open. I sense an unusual. I'm not just saying this in words. I felt it when I was down in Landrum, Brother Tommy. I felt it in this area a little bit. Wouldn't it be great God to sweep over this thing and God to stir? But it'll take God's children getting where they need to get with him. Right before we give the invitation, let me ask you this. Will there be somebody here tonight say, preacher, I got a stubborn will. God's been dealing with me about something. And I haven't let it go. I haven't got rid of it yet. I guess just to say the truth, preacher, I hadn't surrendered it yet. And preacher, just to be honest, I need to surrender to him. Pray for me, preacher. Pray for me. Thank you. Someone else tonight, would you be honest? That's a big thing to be honest about. What has God been dealing with you about in your life that's hard for you to get victory over? And you say, preacher, I need prayer. Would you slip it up? I'm going to pray and we'll move on. Thank you, sir. Thank you for your honesty. Boy, it takes a Christian knowing this thing to be honest. I didn't ask you were you as good as everybody else. I asked you, what has God been dealing with you about? Anybody else? If we are to have revival, we got to draw that circle, get inside, and say, Lord, start it in that circle with me. Anybody else before we move on? I'm getting ready to pray. You want to get in on it? Slip that hand up right now. I want that victory. I want that victory. I want to surrender. I want to give it all to the Lord. Father, I plead the blood in Jesus' name. For those who slipped their hand up for whatever reason it may have been, for salvation, for getting assurance, I pray that you'd help them. God, for those, it almost feel like a failure sometimes spiritually. God, they come tonight and say, Lord, I want you to touch me. Put my fire back. Stir me one more time. God, give me that unction I need. And then, Father, I pray tonight for that one or many that may have that place in their life, they need to surrender. God, I pray tonight they surrender all. I thank you for what you're doing. In Jesus' name. While our heads are bowed, the ladies are going to sing. Some have come. But I wonder from all over this auditorium, for whatever need it might be, would you not wait on anybody else? Would you slip out of that seat right now and come down and have a talk with Jesus about whatever tonight God may be speaking to your heart about? Would you do it? There are probably 30 or 40 of you slipped your hand up, said, preacher, sometimes I feel like a failure. Sometimes I feel like I'm not doing the things I need to do for the Lord. I don't want to be that way, preacher. While some people are being honest tonight, some are coming. What if you were the key? What if you were the key for God to move in your family, or God to move in your kids, or God to move in your relationship, in your home? What if you were the key and say, Lord, I want that fire, I want that stir, I want that power. Ladies, you sing for us. We'll just wait on the Lord a moment. I didn't preach long. We're just waiting on Him. What about it tonight?